Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald Riley, and unfortunately, my beautiful girlfriend, my wife, my sweet thing, Katasha Riley, she cannot be with us today because she is at the Overflow Salon and Barbershop holding it down for the Rileys. Hey, listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama.
Amen.
Amen. Today's special guest, I'm proud to say, ladies and gentlemen, I tell everybody in the city of Columbus and Phoenix City who will listen to me, Mr. Broadwater, Amen. Is my neighbor.
Amen. Amen.
Say hello, please.
Brother Jerry, I just want to thank you and your wife, Katasha. You all are pillars in this community, and
thank you, sir.
Care about giving back to our next generation. So I needed to say that, and thank you for what you do, and I thank you for that introduction, my friend.
Well, I thank you so very much. You know, November is a very special month for me and for you.
Amen.
Because we are both veterans, and so today's Sunday conversation is entitled Salute to All Veterans.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Salute
Amen.
To all veterans. Now, we're going to go ahead and jump on in, Mr. Broadwater. What is a veteran?
To me, okay, I can give you the statutory definition. I can give you my definition.
Okay, we're going to need both then.
So a veteran is defined as someone has been in the military, and they have given more than 3 days to the military, basically. It's actually 90 days.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of people get Veterans Day and Memorial Day confused. Veterans Day is actually for all the veterans, everybody that raised their right hand and served.
Yes, sir.
And Memorial Day is specifically designated for those that have given their lives that were veterans.
Ultimate sacrifice.
The ultimate sacrifice. So on Veterans Day, though, everyone that has served should be honored. Everyone that has raised their right hand should be not necessarily served, but given some type of gratitude. And I think that's very important. And I will say this, you got to keep me on task, Gerald, because I'll continue to talk.
Go ahead.
But I just want to make sure that people understand that most service members don't get it until they leave the military. When someone says, thank you for your service, that is one of the greatest gifts,
yes, sir,
that you can give someone that has served in this military or a veteran. Just thank you for your service. And when you see someone in uniform that is on active duty and you see them, just say thank you for your service. It
yes,
means
sir.
So much to them.
Yes, sir.
Now, on Veterans Day, you know, we're going to have a Veterans Day parade, and every veteran that you know, you should put it all over your Facebook, you should pass it on your Instagram, on your X, and all of that, all of those things, those platforms. But those veterans, those people that have served for this country of ours, should be given some type of recognition.
I agree with you 110%. You know, personally, being a veteran, it's a brotherhood.
Amen.
That we share. And my wife always trips out because when we go to different places in the United, all around the world, we go to different places.
Amen.
Once I find out someone has served,
Amen.
Instantly we have a connection.
That's correct.
7 degrees of separation. I'm
That's
trying
correct.
To figure out where was he stationed at,
That's
where
right.
were you stationed,
That's right.
who was the command sergeant major.
That's right.
Who,
That's right.
And, you know, and then after a couple of minutes, we're going to find out, man, did you know Sergeant Smith?
That's correct. Amen.
It's instantly a connection. And I also tell people this, Mr. Broadwater, that, you know, whether you worked in a motor pool.
That's right. That's right.
A Black Hawk
That's
crew
right.
chief.
That's right.
The Chow Hall or a 75th Ranger bat.
Right.
Man, listen, when you raise that right hand, man, in my opinion, you are a hero.
Amen.
You are
Amen.
A hero.
Amen. You are.
It takes a lot of courage, man, to get on that plane, to go across that water. Not
Amen.
Knowing whether or not you coming back or not. It
Amen.
takes a man. And when
right.
I mean
That's
man,
right.
men and women.
Amen.
But it takes a special kind of person to get in that plane, man, and leave and go fight for this great country. Because this
That's
country
right.
is still great. This
Amen.
Great country.
That's right.
And so
That's
my
right.
next question is, Mr. Broadwater, personally, what does it mean for you to be a veteran?
Because, well,
I hold my chest up high, man, as a veteran.
So let me say this. I think I've done a whole lot of things in my life. One of the top four, I think, is what was to enlist in the military.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you something. I did 24 years.
Thank you for
but
your
Gerald,
service.
But, Gerald, let me tell you this. There was not a day that went by and have fun in the military. And people said, no, you had to have some bad days. Well, let me tell you, my first platoon sergeant was Sergeant Gross, old Vietnam veteran. He told me, he said, Broadwater, you seem like you like this. He hadn't only known me for 4 days. He said, seem like, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to stay in this military a long time. I said, no, I'm just here for the college and college money, and I'm getting out. He said, no, this fits you. You fit it. And I never knew, understood that. He said, but if you remember this, what I'm about to tell you, you will never have a bad day in your life. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to listen to this. Get this knowledge. He said, no matter when you wake up, no matter what happens during that day, you say to yourself, it's still a good day.
It's still a good day.
No matter what happens, flat tire, run out of gas, you get a ticket, no matter what happens, you've woken up, it's still a good day. And I still live by that every single day of my life. And Sergeant Gross, he's gone now, but the military gives us so much knowledge. It gives us so much wisdom. You meet those that have gone and walked before you. And I just believe that it is our opportunity, our chance, it's our obligation, our responsibility to continue that. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going in the military because everybody doesn't fit for the military.
Yes, sir.
But every now and then, you're going to meet someone that can benefit from the service. So, people always give me a hard time, or some of my fraternity brothers give me a hard time about wearing my military cap. I said, look at here. When you come to my casket and you look into that casket, I might not have it on, but it's going to be somewhere in that casket.
Amen.
Because I believe I tell other veterans, wear your cap. And I know we're going to see a whole lot this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you earn that. So you should have you should wear it. You should be proud. Most veterans that I know are extremely proud of their service.
Yes, sir.
They're extremely proud. And to me, being a veteran, it means everything to me. I continue to whatever I do, whether I'm at the city council, school board, I try to push. If a veteran calls me and says, hey, Mr. Broadwood, can you bring up this? Or, do you know who to call? I'm going to take a little bit of an extra notion to do what they're asking me to do because they are veterans. And like you said about the brotherhood, and there's a sisterhood. But there is just, when I say brotherhood, I'm being inclusive.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about just veterans. There is a relationship. No matter where you go in the world, you got on a veteran anything.
Yes, sir.
Another veteran see it, gonna say, hey, thank you, man. Like you said, thank you for your service. Where were you at? Where were
yes,
you
sir.
Stationed at?
Yes,
there's a guy by the name in this town right here I met in 1981 at a place called Mainz, Germany. About 10 years ago, I'm at a Farm City tailgate. He walks by and said, Broadwater.
Yes, sir.
Hadn't seen him since 1981.
Yes, sir.
He remembered, but we were privates together. We enjoyed company. We did some crazy things together. But that brotherhood that we had and still have immediately came to the forefront. So I say this to you, those that are listening in the audience, Veterans Day. Do something for a veteran. If you don't do nothing, just go to the parade. Call people in your family. Text people in your family. Put it on your Facebook. Thank you for your service. You don't know what veteran is, especially those in your family. You can at least let them know that you're thankful for their service.
It's something that never leaves you.
Amen.
I remember a couple years ago, my wife and I, we were getting ready to fly out on vacation. and we up in Atlanta at the airport, the busiest airport in the world.
Amen.
I'm walking through the airport and I hear somebody say, yell, Sergeant Riley. I'm sitting here like, man, I haven't been in the military since 2000. This joker calling me Sergeant Riley. But it was one of my privates.
Amen.
And he was still, man, my beard longer than Bin Laden's beard. And this joker still calling me Sergeant Riley.
Amen.
But
amen.
He still remembered. He still remembered that bond and right. that brotherhood that we shared.
Amen.
And like you, I'm just old poor boy from Pensacola, Florida.
Amen. Amen.
And so when I came into the military, I was making $669 a month. But Mr. Broadwater, listen, I never had nothing my entire life.
I get it.
That $669 might as well have been $6,900,000.
Amen.
Because, man, I thought that was so much money.
Money, amen.
It blew my mind. And so I'm so thankful. I know they call him Uncle Sam, but I call him Uncle Sugar because he's been so sweet to me.
Amen.
Now, Mr. Broadwater, we have the ear of a couple hundred thousand people at this moment.
Amen.
For those veterans who are out there listening, what would you say to them at this very moment?
So, you know, all of the veterans that have served, and I really mean what I'm about to say to all of you that are listening, that are veterans, you're never too old to give back.
Amen.
And it does not mean that you have to get up and do some physical stuff. You can mentor young men like me, and I'm 64 plus years on this earth. And it does not mean that you have to do the physical stuff. Your responsibility could be just mentoring to the next generation.
Yes.
You can mentor to me, because I'm going to mentor to someone else. And I hope that those mentees, when they get come up during their journey of life, they do the same thing. But you have, I believe this, and I'm old Sergeant Major Eddie Roberts. He and I used to have several conversations. I used to go to his office, and I just needed to talk military, talk to somebody with a military mind. And he would just talk to me about, you give back for the rest of your life. When you get out of the military, you still have an obligation of all those things that you learn, just like you did in the military.
Yes, sir.
You learn leadership styles. You learn what true leadership is. You learn that you know that everything is a progression. You got to come up and progress and continue to move on. A lot of our young folks, and I say young folks because I was young at one time, I did the exact same thing that they are doing out there. I don't talk about our young folks. Before I start listening to somebody talking about our young folks, I will ask that person, what are you doing? What are you doing to help them? They need guidance. We all, at some time in our life, need guidance. So all the veterans out there, you don't have to give back through a civic or social organization. You can go one place. You can go to your church.
Yes, sir.
Tell your pastor. Tell the pastor. You ain't got to be a member of the church. Just say, look, I would like to talk to the young men. And if you're a lady, I'd like to talk to the young ladies about life. And just have a 20-minute session.
Yes, sir.
And give them something, some type of nuggets. You'd be surprised. You might not save all 20. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm a real. Gerald, you know I'm real.
Yes, sir.
You might not be able to save all 20. But one or two going to hear you. And they're going to listen to you. So, veterans, I'd ask that you do that. All the veterans. You ain't got to do nothing physical. You can just talk. But that's what I think our veterans should be doing for the rest of their lives. People like Robert L. Anderson served in the Air Force, Eddie Roberts, all of those that have gone, Charles E. Patrick, all of those veterans mentored me when I got to Columbus. They continued to mentor me after I retired because I was trying to attain a position to where they had already been or what they already seen in life. So they made it their responsibility and obligation to mentor to me. I'm just trying to do the same thing.
Amen. Hey, listen, just in case you're joining us today for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Mr. Broadwater, my neighbor. And today's Summon Conversation is entitled Salute to All Veterans. Amen. Now this question is not on my phone, Mr. Broadwater. This is kind of like a surprise question.
So go ahead, sir.
I want to see how much you remember about this military.
Uh-oh.
What are the three type leadership styles?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, authoritarian. Okay. Is it delegation?
And
Lord have mercy.
Me and you do something together.
Yeah, it's a collaboration, but that's not the name of it.
Participation.
There we go. So, man, you know, it took me back. Hey, I've been retired for 22 years.
It took me back. It took me back. But
Lord have mercy.
But as a small business owner, I use all of these leadership styles in my business, depending on what's going on.
Every day, don't you?
Depending on the type of people / soldiers that I have.
Amen.
Because, like I say, it never leaves you.
Amen.
I remember I was in Publix one day, and I was behind this older gentleman, and I seen him putting his groceries on the belt. Right. And I'm looking, and I'm with my wife, and I'm looking. I said, that dude retired military. And my wife, well, how you know? I'm like, because I see he putting his meats together.
Organization.
He putting his vegetables over here. He has his canned goods over here.
Yes.
It tells on you every
time.
And my wife tripped out because she like, man, I'm like, baby, listen.
That's right.
Listen.
You're right.
Yeah, I know.
Organization. The military teaches you that. I'm sorry, bro, but even I think about when I used to live in the barracks, how you had inspection.
Yes, sir.
And then you had to roll your socks a special way. Your underwear had to be rolled a special way. Now, when you got outside, maybe you did not roll your stuff, but you still had in the back of your mind that the organization in your drawer needed to be a certain way.
It transfers, man. It transfers.
Going to the field. Coming back from the field. When you come back from the field, you got to go through the recovery because you don't know when you got to go next time.
It transfers.
You're right. My friend.
Now, speaking of transfers, Mr. Broadwater.
Yes, sir.
How was your how was it transferring from active duty military into civilian life? Because a lot of our combat veterans have trouble making that transition.
So it's funny that you say that. And I'm going to let a little nugget out. And I've been trying to push the city to do this for years. It seems like they're on board now. Very soon, you're going to see a military liaison for the Columbus city government. It's coming. I've been talking to them for that for at least 10, 15 years. A lot of military veterans find it difficult in transferring from the military to the civilian world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And because they've lived structured for so long.
Yes, sir.
And I remember when I got out, people saying, it's 5:00. It's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking the mission is not done. You are mission oriented. You are mission driven.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of people don't understand that when folks get out of the military, they're still in their mind mission driven. It's not about, okay, it's 5:00 and it's time to go. If the mission is not complete, it ain't time to go. So we a lot of veterans I see struggle with that, and I've asked the city to create some type of liaison person so that I can make a phone call as a military veteran and say, hey, Mr. Broadwater, what does the city or the state of Georgia offer me? I'm a veteran. I want to stay here, but I'm not really sold on staying in Columbus yet. Some things, even if a lot of our veterans now have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got out, they didn't know what to do.
Let me interrupt you.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
This was a question, but you got ahead of me. But that's okay.
Okay.
What is PTSD?
Okay, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
So now, understanding that A lot of teachers could have PTSD. Mm-hmm. Police officers, firemen, first responders. Mm-hmm. But when you have PTSD coming out of the military, it's a little bit different. And yes, I don't mean to be biased in this, but it's a little bit different.
Yes, sir.
And the reason I say that is it's not natural. And I've been in minefields. I've taken people out of minefields. I've picked up bodies. That's just not a normal thing that you see in most employment jobs.
It stays with you.
It stays with you.
Yes, sir.
So you have got to talk to somebody about that, because a lot of the civilian world, they just really don't understand it. When you don't normally, when you go to school, I mean, normally when you go to your job, you don't care. You're not carrying an M16 or an M4 with you with six rounds of magazines only. You don't see that. Normally when you go to your job, you're not thinking about somebody today shooting you. But when these young men and women go off to war, that's a daily thought process.
They're heroes.
Amen. So I think that for me, I talk to a whole lot of people. And you got to talk to somebody to deal with that. Civilian world is a little bit different than military. Military is truly structured. Everything, you get up at a certain time, you leave formation, that's at a certain time, you got formation at a certain time, all those things, you run PT every day. All of those things are structured, and they're for a reason. If you think about your indoctrination into the military doing basic training in AIT, it's consistent. You go to basic training, you run PT. Mm-hmm. You go to AIT, you're still running PT. Mm-hmm. If you go to a leadership school, you're still running PT. Mm-hmm. So that puts an asterisk on your physical fitness in the military. Mm-hmm. Most people that got the civilian jobs, most ain't going to the gym every morning at 4:00.
No, sir.
And I remember, like, when you and I were in, they had a slogan, we do more before 9:00 than most people do all day.
Yes, sir.
And that was a true statement, because by 9:00, you done did PT, and you done showered.
PMCS
is on your vehicles.
Yes, sir, really.
Preventive maintenance.
Checks
and services. Yes, so those things, the military, people that get out, some folks get out and have to go back to a structured life. Mm-hmm. Some people get out and they have to deal with the military. They have to go back and work for the military because they need that structure. And when they go in the civilian world, a lot of people don't understand, and I've talked to people that are in the education system that got out of the military, and the other teachers, the educators, why are they so strict? Why are they there 15, even this morning, even today? You said you was looking for me outside. I'm already in the place.
In the place to be.
That's right, because that's the military mind. We don't like being late. Mm-mm. If we are going to be late, we're going to call you and tell you.
That's right.
Because that's the way that we are structured. That's the way that leadership talks. I can't lead without setting an example. I can't. I can't be late. And if I am late, I need to make sure I'm calling somebody. So I just think that, you know, the question was people getting out of the military, dealing with the PTSD and others understanding the PTSD. I went to the city council and I was talking about some police officers understanding that they don't know if you've been in the military or not. They don't know if you're suffering from PTSD. Mm-hmm. So the training that they must have, because they got to deal with them. They got to deal with so many people. So
I love what you said about having a liaison on the city council.
Yes, sir.
To help deal with the military. Because what you and I also understand, being in the military, it's a certain type of language that we speak. And we need someone who understands our language.
That's right.
You know, because it's important.
Amen.
You know, my wife, she messed with me all the time, because when we first got married, we had these kids, and, you know, I was trying to get them in shape, and I was turning over beds, and, you know, in basic training, I was turning over the bed.
Drill, sorry. Nah.
Dressers. I was taking doors off hinges, and look, family had a meeting about me. The whole family had a meeting about me and be like, and my kids are like, we are not in the military.
Yes.
You are not our drill sergeant.
Amen.
And, you know, so I'm like, okay then. But that was the structure that I was used to. And I know that it worked for me.
Amen.
But, man, listen, you really have to be in that thing to understand that thing.
So let me give you the one negative story. Most of you all that listen in the audience, you'll see my son, but you won't be able to that because you'll see him this weekend. But anyway, my son one day in my house went to his room and slammed the door. He was about 15, maybe 14 or 15. So I said, okay, I got this. I went out to the garage, got me a couple of screwdrivers or wrenches, whatever I needed, went to his door and took it off the hinges.
Yes, sir.
And put the door right next to his room. And I said, now, let's go with this. That door, that you don't slam doors in this house. That you're going to look at that door every time you go in this room. And when you are able, when you have enough respect to say, Dad, I'm ready for my door to be put back on the hinges, I'll do that. But don't come to me unless you got that respect. You learn that in the military.
Yes,
so the military, even in the military, when you basic training, you had open bays.
Yes, sir.
You know, so you there were certain things that the drill was trying to instill to make you become a unit, a platoon, or what have you. But we have got to, and I take this back to our young men, one of my mentoring group, the Omega Lamplighters. Mm. Sometimes they think me and Dr. Forte are still in the military.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Dr. Forte. Shout out to the guy.
So Dr. Forte is a Marine.
Yes, sir.
And once a Marine, always a Marine. And one of the things that we try to instill is them. Yeah, the military taught us certain things about those leadership skills, about organizational skills. But what that did, and my son came to me years later and said, Dad, what you did brought me back to earth. Mm. It made me give your house respect.
Yes, sir. It's important.
So, and the same thing goes with authority. In the military, you will have a respect for authority. I remember Sergeant Gross, Broadwater, you ain't got to like me, but you're going to respect me. But I liked him because he never wavered. Mm-hmm. He treated everybody the same. And one of the things, one of my assignments in the military was an equal opportunity advisor. Lord, have mercy. I thank that man for sending me my platoon. I can't remember his name at the time, but he sent me to that school. And I learned so much about other folks, but I also learned about myself and the respect that you must have. See, you learn that in the military. You learn that respect that you got to have for your fellow man. So
that is so true. Now, you mentioned the lamplighters.
Yes, sir.
Now, you guys are marching in something this weekend.
Yes, sir.
What's going on this weekend that you guys are marching?
It's very important that we teach, in my opinion. I'm the chairman of the Omega Lamplighters, Lambda Alpha Chapter of Omega Psi Phi here in Columbus, Georgia. One of the things I do believe in wholeheartedly is that any group that you're mentoring should have the ability to give back, show their previous mentors, their previous generations before them, that they respect what they're doing. So this Saturday, the Omega Lamplighters will be in the Veteran Parade.
What time?
It starts at 10 a.m.
Okay.
It's going to come downtown. It starts in Phoenix City, and it comes downtown on Broad Street in Columbus.
And if my wife was here, we talk about, for 30 seconds, give us some advice on being in a relationship, whether it's with your wife, your children, or your friends. It doesn't matter. Just
okay. All right. So I like to talk about, I talk about my kids, and I give my wife a plug, but kids, fathers, every child needs a male role model. Every child needs a male role model, whether they're
a daughter or a son, you need a male role model. And the male role model has to understand that respect has to be given to the child.
Up and
the
down.
The Bible talks about it, you know. But the Bible says don't spoil the child now.
Right.
The child got to have some discipline, but
don't provoke
the child.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of parents today have gotten away from that and don't truly understand that. A child needs love, mentorship, and guidance. If you can do those three things to a child, they're going to turn out pretty well.
Outstanding. This has been Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Peace out.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.